Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. As we were talking about yesterday, 2019 marks our 40th anniversary. MRM has been around for 4 decades. It's kind of hard to believe looking back. And so yesterday we were reminiscing about some of the events in my personal life that led to me founding this organization back in, actually, to be specific, it was July of 1979. I was mentioning how I was kind of groomed for this through a couple that I had met, Art and Edda Bedvarsson, who were the founders of Utah Christian Tract Society. And they were big helps in educating me on the ins and outs of Mormonism. Because as you mentioned yesterday, Eric, I was not a member of the LDS Church. And I know that sometimes throws people off because why would I have such an interest in this? And if I was to say one big reason why I was interested in this, it was because I knew a lot of Latter-day Saints growing up. And after I became a Christian, I knew a lot of other Latter-day Saints that I had met through work and such. And I had a genuine concern for them because the more we talked about theological issues, the more it became apparent that what they were saying and what they were believing could not really be supported by the Bible. They could certainly support it from books written by their own leaders, but not from the New Testament. And that really bothered me.
So you were 22 years of age when this ministry begins. You had only been a Christian for a few years.
Well, about 4 years or so. And some might say, well, is that a little too soon? And as I mentioned yesterday, I was being mentored by my pastor and by Art and Edna Bedvarsson both. It wasn't like I was just some rogue out there wanting to go get involved in some ministry. That's not really how it worked with me. But I was constantly being cautioned by my pastor, and he gave me great guidance about being careful when you're looking into false religions, and it caused me to really learn quickly what I was supposed to know as a Christian as well.
You wanted to be more official, and so to do that, you're going to have to incorporate. You're going to have to file papers, for instance, with the IRS,
Yuck.
And you went through the 501c3 process.
Oh, yeah.
You must have been really ignorant, because that's not an easy process to be able to go through that and to get the 501c3 was huge.
Yeah, Art was a big help when it came to that as far as incorporation papers and such. But yes, I did basically do it on my own, and dealing with the IRS was not a very pleasant experience. One thing you do learn with dealing with the IRS, though, Eric, is you learn quickly how little they know what's going on in the government. I remember one phone call I made. I had a question about the form. I think it was a 4073 form you had to fill out back then. It may still be now. And I had a question about one of the questions. So I called him up to ask, and I got this guy, and he didn't know, so he passed me on to another person. That person didn't know. They passed me on to another person. That person didn't know. Eventually, I got back to the original person. And he knew it was me from the question I was asking. So it was quite an interesting experience.
You didn't go full time into this. It wasn't like paying your bills. And so for many years, you had to work. Well, you did construction, for instance.
Yes.
You did a number of different things.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that 40 years later that you would still be doing this kind of ministry?
Wow. Probably I don't think so.
Yeah.
This was something I never really looked forward to. It just kind of happened the way it happened. But you mentioned an interesting thing. You say you really didn't go full-time immediately. I often kid that in this kind of ministry, you kind of go full time immediately. You certainly don't go full salary. I mean, I was, as you said, I was working side jobs. I was involved in construction. I used to build homes. I was a rough framer. And then I ended up working at a hardware store in El Cajon. It was a huge hardware store, but it wasn't like a Home Depot or anything like this. This is one of those hardware stores where you got to learn a lot about different things, plumbing, electrical, and things like that, because you had a lot of people coming and asking you questions about this. And so it was a little bit different. But it was actually through that hardware store that I was coming in contact with even more Latter-day Saints, because their maintenance guys from the local chapels would come to this particular hardware store where I worked to get their supplies for their job working on those buildings. And so we would get into conversations. I would be cutting pipe for them, for instance, and we'd be talking. I wasn't taking away from doing my job in doing so, but when you're cutting pipe, you just have to kind of stand there. There's nothing else to do but watch this thing turn around and make threads. And so I'm having conversations with some of them, very short, but it caused me to come in contact with a lot of other Latter-day Saints. And so again, I'm talking with these people one-on-one. And I remember one story in particular that I often tell. There was one man, and I told him that this time in my studying of Mormonism, I had been reading quotations out of the Journal of Discourses. And, of course, I didn't have a set of Journal of Discourses. And it had to have been before I had met Art, because Art did have a set of Journal of Discourses. And I, at this time, wanted to verify some of the quotations that I had read from a book written by a man by the name of Gordon Fraser, who was a Christian missionary on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona. And so he wrote a book, Is Mormonism Christian?
Yep,
it was a very, very basic title. But he had a lot of references to the journal. And so I asked this guy about that, and he said he had a set. So he invited me to come over one Sunday afternoon. He says, come on over after you get off work, because I used to get off at 2 o'clock on Sundays. And so I went over to his house while he was having Sunday dinner with his family, and he allowed me to go into his den, and I could look up all the references that I had. And I had a lot of them. And I told him, I just want to verify that these statements are either true or false. Are they misquoting them? Are they out of context? And he says, sure, come on over. And so I did. And as I sat there in his den, I was verifying all these quotations. And sadly, Eric, every single one of them were quoted correctly, and they were in their proper context. And when I brought this up, because he asked me afterwards, well, did you find everything you were looking for? And I remember saying something to the effect that, yeah, I'm afraid I did. And I'm sure he was kind of puzzled by that answer. But I told him some of the things I was looking up and how troubled I was that Mormon leaders had actually taught some of these things. His countenance changed. He went from being very friendly, very nice, to really looking at me with a scowl. And it was really a weird change that I remember to this day. And then he went on to say something to the effect, you know, when I die, I'm going to become a god. What do you have to offer?
Mm.
I had never been asked a question like that, certainly not in such an angry tone. I had usually had pretty good conversations with Mormons up until this time, and I didn't know what to say other than, all I have is Jesus. And I remember his answer, that's not good enough.
Wow.
And he opens the door and basically motions for me to leave. That was a really strange experience.
Now, you're bringing up something that's really important, because when you started in this ministry in 1979, a lot of people didn't have the books who were researching this. They were books that maybe you could find in the library, maybe. And today, we have the Journal of Discourses not only on your shelf in your office, but we also have it on the electronic form. The computer has changed the way that this whole ministry has gone. What did you think about that change when you started to see the technology increasing?
Well, it certainly was a big help to me in my research. But you're right, everything was hard copy. In fact, after we started in 1979, I was getting letters from people who lived in Utah who were members of the Mormon Church and who were having questions, and they wanted me to send them information. And I remember specifically one guy in particular who lived in the heart of Utah. If you send me some material, please don't put your ministry name on it on the outside, because, as he said, they, you know, his postmaster was a Latter-day Saint, his mailman was a Latter-day Saint. Now, of course, that's not a problem. You have the privacy of your own home, and unless your spouse is going in and checking your history to see where you've been on the web, you can pretty much study this without being bothered by other people.
1995. MRM.org comes into existence. We start to use email. We don't have to use letters anymore. How did that change the way that this ministry has operated?
Well, at first I thought this is great because it seems so easy. The problem, of course, is because it's so easy, everybody seems to be using it. Now I'm getting flooded with emails. It was at the very beginning I was excited to receive one. Now it's like I have too many. I have so many now in my inbox, I can't even get to them all, and I feel bad about that. I try to keep up with a lot of the very important ones as quickly as I can. But yes, the internet changed everything. It became a very big boon for us researching Mormonism, and I'm sure it eventually became a nightmare for the LDS Church, because now we know that the internet is what's causing a lot of members in the church to search out their history, search out their theology, and eventually end up leaving the Mormon Church.
We get hits from people all over the world that we would not have otherwise been able to reach if we were trying to hand out tracts. What do you see, Bill, for the next 40 years?
Well, at the end of 40 years, I'm sure I'm not going to be a part of MRM. That's pretty much a given. I really don't know. I get asked that a lot. I really don't know what's going to happen. Sadly enough, I don't see as much interest in this religion as I saw back when we're getting this thing going. A lot of people don't seem to have the same interest in the spiritual lives of Latter-day Saints. When I started back in 79, especially after the Godmakers film came out in 84, there were a lot of people that were interested in starting ministries and wanting to reach out to the LDS people and also educate the body of Christ, which has been our focus ever since we began 4 decades ago. But I really couldn't answer that question, Eric. I really don't know what the answer is to that.
Well, we are going to celebrate the 40th anniversary on May 9th in Utah, South Jordan. And why don't you tell everybody how, if they wanted to come, what they need to do to be able to come to our party?
It's a free event. It's just a time of celebration and thanking God for what he's done. We're going to have a lot of reminiscing. Sandra Tanner is going to be speaking, and Aaron Shafawalaf, who works with us, he's worked with us for many years since coming up to Utah. He's going to be talking as well. We're just going to have a good time of fellowship, some great desserts, and it's going to be at the Mission Church. This is Pastor Rich Sanford's church. That happens to be where Aaron attends on Sundays, and Aaron's very active in the Mission Church. It's located at 10288 South Jordan Gateway, and that's just west of the Embassy Suites Hotel in South Jordan. If you would like to come to this, it's an open invitation. If you're interested in what we're doing as a ministry, we need you to sign up, though, because the seating is limited. And in order to know if you're coming, it would certainly be a help to us. You need to go to mrm.org/celebration. mrm.org/celebration.
We need to know so that we can have enough dessert and have enough room. So if you're wanting to do this, please do us the favor of letting us know you're going to come by going to mrm.org/celebration. It's easy to sign up. It's free.
Yeah. It is free, and we will be taking an offering to help further the efforts of MRM. But if you're interested in what we are doing as a ministry, I hope you'll come out. That's going to be on Thursday, May 9th at 7 o'clock at the Mission Church. And again, it's sign up at mrm.org/celebration.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.